Introduction. Before I became a guardian ad litem, I spent a year with failing third graders as a volunteer reader at a local grade school. It was light duty and satisfying to experience improvements in reading skills for the tiny investment in time per child. A few hours a month with a volunteer reader makes literate children out of failing third graders. What a rewarding program for both the child and volunteer. I became aware of the Guardian Ad Litem program at the same time my close friend Pam was experiencing serious problems with a local county child protection system. My friend was not told of the severe abuse and mental health issues, or the serious behavioral problems of the three children her family had adopted. Pam and her husband had, in fact, adopted three very troubled children from a county that told them nothing of the tortured homes these children had spent their lives in. The county became unreasonable, evasive, and dishonest once the adoption was finalized. I watched for several years as Pam tried to make her small business run and lead a normal life while living with the impossible problems her abused and neglected children were plagued by. County agencies treated Pam and her family badly. As a result, they have all suffered terrific, unnecessary stress for many years. Pam's children did not receive mental health treatments that could have helped them deal with their severe and chronic problems. Because a government agency chose not to disclose the truth about the abuse and neglect of her adopted children, those children could not receive timely mental health services. It has taken many years for Pam and her children to sort through their problems and deal with the issues that so dramatically affect their quality of life as individuals and as a family. This county's behavior has had a lasting impact on the view I have of underfunded and misdirected government agencies. Invisible Children represents years of my research into children's issues and my own experiences with children in the county child protection system. I do not speak for all abused and neglected children everywhere. I admit to a personal bias for children born into miserable lives. They have suffered enough. I am hurt by the meanness and short-sightedness of the politics that are drowning these children. More than 8 years ago, I volunteered as a child advocate within my county's child protection system. I have worked with about 50 invisible children and become very close to some of them. I call them invisible because they are hidden from our community and they cannot escape their circumstances without our help. They are not heard or seen until they do something terrible, which prompts our society to abuse them all over again. Child protection workers might become desensitized to 11-year-old abused girls sneaking out of group homes to seduce men at a nearby bar, but it made me crazy. I don't want my community to facilitate the abandonment of abused children a second time. My observations may not be right in every application, but most of my positions have been borne out in the research I have done. You may dislike what you see and disagree with my positions, but the facts have been the facts for many years. None of the following information can be considered a one-year anomaly. It disturbs me to know that most of the data and statistics in this book have been true for about 20 years. It also hurts me to think that many of my friends and most of my political acquaintances know very little about this important information. I'm a skinny, 50-ish, entrepreneurial, happily married, and optimistic guy who runs a small business and likes to experience new things. I've owned a junkyard and crushed car bodies, been a traveling salesman, business consultant, and a recruiter for a private school. I've won and lost, reinvented myself, done fairly well, and done poorly. I'm living proof that this country is home to a multitude of possibilities for unconventional lifestyles that allow many of us the opportunity to discover the things we love and build them into a life that is rich and fulfilling with the right help. I'm a lucky guy, and I know it. 8 years of working with unlucky babies, 3-year-olds, and 7-year-old children has shown me how lucky I am. The difference between lucky and unlucky is what prompts me to write this book. I am lucky because my mom loved me and kept me from harm. We were a broken family with alcohol, divorce, and money problems. What's important here is that she instilled in me the belief that life is good and that you can trust some people most of the time, and you can trust most people a little. This may be simple and obvious as the nose on your face, unless you come from a family that abused and neglected you. Then, you might not think life is good or that you should ever trust anybody. Take Nancy. who at 6 was the oldest of 4 children of a crack cocaine mom. Nancy and her family lived with an abusive man who liked to have sex with children. Nancy was sexually and physically abused by this man for 4 years and was once kicked so hard by him that she went into convulsions. After repeated police calls to the home by neighbors, Nancy and her siblings were finally discovered by Child Protection and removed from their home. Parental rights were terminated and the children were adopted into other families. That is, except for Nancy, 11 years old, too troubled, too explosive, and too self-loathing to allow herself to be loved or even cared for by sweet, decent people. Nationally, 4 years is the average length of time for sexual abuse of a child within a toxic family before they are removed. Children are not aware of the rightness or wrongness of their abuse. They do not know that abuse is abnormal or even that it is wrong. To a 3-year-old, no matter how painful and frightening her life is normal. A sad and lasting fact of child abuse is that children blame themselves for the abuse they receive. It takes years of therapy to change a child's perception of an abusive past. There is no book a child can go to or a code they are born with that explains the abnormality of what is happening to them. Children can't call their senators or complain to the authorities. They can't even tell their parents. Abused children cope as best they can. Abused kids develop behaviors that work against them for the rest of their lives, as I will explain. Their behaviors will define them as social misfits and prompt them to do things that will make the rest of their lives miserable. While these children are invisible to most of our community, each one of us is directly responsible for their plight. They live under our laws. They go to our schools. They are convicted by our courts. Many of them spend lifetimes in our prisons. They have no say in the laws and policies that rule their lives. And if they did, they are too young to know what to say. So as responsible adults who make the laws, each of us must begin to stand up for these children. If we don't, who will?